Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the first major of the calendar season, one of the most important majors that everyone looks forward to this season, the Masters. So we'll get you cracking on that one. 91 player field. So much fun there. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. If you can give it a rate and review on iTunes, we would appreciate it. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, and it helped me preview as usual on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's the best week of the year. How are you?
Good, good. It feels like we've been counting this down for quite a while, and it's finally here. And as a baseball fan like myself, it's opening day Thursday and the Masters Thursday. I need to come up with an illness pretty soon.
Yeah, I'd take a day if I were you, for sure.
It's going to be a pretty wild one.
For maybe sure. Set up about five or six screens and take a picture and put it on Twitter.
I'm not going to comment. You got me baffling the first minute because I was going to say something I shouldn't. So, yep, I was thinking about going and finding a bar with some Tito's and, you know, knocking a dude's teeth out, but that's a whole other story.
Listen, a lot of opportunities here.
Lots of opportunities for sure. But let's talk, speaking of people in Texas, let's talk Valero Texas Open real quick. And J.J. Spahn, finally. He's been, like, hinting, getting close to it in recent weeks, playing some good golf. Got the job done. Bo Hosler looked good. Fratelli was there. Merritt was there. A lot of the we expected the big names kind of disappeared like it does in this tournament, but still turned in some pretty good golf overall.
Yeah, Bryson and Rory both missed the cut.
Yeah, Hideki withdrew.
Hideki withdrew. Round one. Some neck issues there, but yeah, I guess a lot of people bet J.J. Spahn. He was not on my radar at all whatsoever. So it is what it is on that. Kuchar looked a little bit better. Hadwin was up there. Golf course played a lot more difficult than I thought it would. From a DFS perspective, it wasn't a very good week for me. I played one lineup. It didn't cash. It was 5 of 6. And, but J.J. Spahn wins, gets in the Masters. It's a hell of a week.
Yeah, I had a pretty good amount of Spahn. I was pretty happy with him at $6,700 this past week. So that one felt good. I was doing everything in my power to root against Kuchar. I'm like, do not let him get into the Masters. Just don't do it. Do not let him win. I'll let JJ get in. Cool. We let Kuchar disappear for a little while because we don't need that fun. And I thought he was going to do it for a second there. But if it wasn't for KH Lee and Nick Taylor, I would have had probably a monster week. It was
Lee, I forgot about him.
Yeah, Lee went just complete postal at one point. Yeah. But like I usually don't reflect a ton on the model, but this is one of the weeks. Like it happens about a couple times a month where it's like, okay, it was really close. It was really close. And this one was there. Like it was, I think I got almost 2/3, if not 3/4 of my players through, but I was heavy on Lee and Nick Taylor. Yeah. And that I still had a couple 6 of 6s. They did fine, but I had 12 5 of 6s. Let's put it that way. 12 5 of 6s. Yeah. It's just like, that's when you know you're really close, just not close enough.
Yeah,
but it was fun. But let's just do it. Let's just get to the Masters. Let's not sugarcoat it. The Valero was what it was. We've got some injuries to watch for, which we'll talk about when we talk about players here, because it's the best of the best. Even when I loaded my model up on Fantasy National, ain't a whole lot of red until you get to the bottom of the charts. Yeah. Like it's a pretty loaded field as you'd expect. 91 golfers, thanks to J.J. Spahn joining the fun. Maybe 90, depending on LT Gray's announcement later this week, but I think he's playing. So what's some of your past event history?
Yeah, so obviously very historic golf course. Best of the best, like you said, as far as the field goes. Last year, Hideki won 10-under, one shot over Zalatoris, which I forgot until one of my buddies corrected me that that he finished second last year. Because he mentioned him, I was like, yeah, maybe if the guy can magically figure out how to putt, and he finished second last year. So there you go. Low scoring last year, obviously, though, too. Relatively. Decently low scoring. DJ was the 2020 winner. Of course, that was in November. Shot 20 under, won by 5 shots over Sung J M and Cam Smith. Tiger won in 2019 for the 5th time, 13 under, one shot over DJ, Brooks, Xander. Patrick Reed was the 2018 champion, 15 under, one shot over Ricky. Sergio, 2017, 9 shot playoff with Justin Rose, 9 under playoff Justin Rose. And Danny Willett, 2016 champion. Spieth, Bubba, Adam Scott. Mickelson's not in the field, so it doesn't matter. Zach Johnson's even won this tournament, but that was a weird year.
Yeah, it's a lot of course history is what you'll hear a lot this week, because it's legit the only course I could say we probably play every single year that is pretty much lined up in a certain way. Like, everyone's tinkering with other courses and doing different things. This is Augusta. They did alter a couple holes. They moved tee boxes back like 15 to 20 yards to make them a little longer. You'll hear about that. And like, one was 11, one was like 15 or 16, something like a 15. I think 16 is a part three, so that'd be tough. But they moved a couple of those holes back. You know, I told Jesse, I'm like, I'm not going to get super into the course preview because you've heard of Augusta a million times. You got Magnolia Lane. You got Amen's Corner. You got blah, blah, blah. You got Ray's Creek. You got all kinds of fun stuff. You know the drill. You, it really favors the right to left ball flight. So I see lefties do very well at this golf course. But the biggest thing is it's super undulating. The fairways, the greens, it's a hard walk. It's why you want to be on certain parts of the fairway. It reminds you a lot of Kapalua in that respect. When we talk about Kapalua, the ups and downs of that course, which make it kind of interesting. The greens are going to be super fast. It's one of the first full-on bent grass courses we're going to see all season, which we haven't seen a ton of. The par fours are extremely long, which is what you expect from a major. That's what kind of keeps the teeth in this golf course. Is there most or 450 plus on this course? The par fives are gettable in two, but they also make you pay if you miss. Like I mentioned, Race Creek's involved in one. There's other ones. So you got to feast on the par fives. You have to, like, bogey or better. I'd say par better. But bogey avoidance would be phenomenal on some of these par fours. Just like survive the par fours, capitalize on the par fives. We know you can, they're some of the biggest fairways on tour. But like I said, you want to be on the certain spots of the fairway because of the slopes. You can hit it out of the pine straw. There's trees everywhere, but we've seen guys be successful if you're not just like directly behind a tree. So there's creativity against experience, which helps there. And the green complexes are wild. And that's why you don't see a lot of first timers do well here. You kind of have to have that experience. There's no greens books, which there's none in tour period anymore, but this course never allowed them. Right. And so it made it very important. Like, you could see where, like, certain guys would know exactly where to hit a ball. And then, like, the new guys be like, oh shoot, like this isn't good. So there's all those kind of little nuances. Not saying a first timer can't do well here. Like Willie Z finished second last year. That says a lot. But more often than not, you see some big dogs just like Spieth can be playing horrible golf. Spieth's still nearly top tens every time he shows up. It's just one of those things that are hard to explain. And the last thing I'll mention is a 91 person field. Like we said, it's T50 in ties, not T65, and it's not within 10 strokes like it used to be. But even with all that, you're probably gonna get like 60 or so guys through the weekend. You have like six amateurs. And you have about 12 old guys that shouldn't even be there, past champions. So you can almost narrow the field down to current golfers and hopefully find the weekend. Just going to throw that out there right now. So what are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, as far as stats go, strokes gained off the tee matters, greens and regulation, plenty of course history. Definitely weight that quite a bit. And, I mean, distance, I think, is going to matter more this year. I mean, especially with the changes in particular to number 11, they lengthened it. They did make it a little bit easier down the right side, took out some trees. But that hole to begin with was fucking hard.
They lengthened it, now it's longer than the par 5 13th.
Right.
It's crazy. Right.
Yeah. That, so if you ever go to Augusta, I highly recommend walking back there to that tee. It's a little bit out of the way, and it's a bit of a hike, but you get back there and you see what these guys are looking at. It's a really difficult shot. So you got to be able to hit it and gain strokes off the tee. I mean, basically is what I'm trying to get at. And I did see a quote from Morikawa today where, you know, that they lengthened it, so it's going to be more of a 5 to probably 4 iron into that green, which the greens could be weather dependent. You know, pretty hard and difficult come Sunday. I do think it's going to play really soft at the beginning of the week because they're going to get a lot of rain, and it's going to take a while for their subair system to make it where they want it, And so potentially by Sunday, you know, it's playing hard and fast. But I do think that there could be a potentially a delay on Thursday, even getting started. After Thursday, though, Friday, Saturday, Sunday look really, 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 really good.
Yeah, and you mentioned the rain. There's been a lot of rain leading up to this, like the most they've had in a long, long, long time. So the course can play soft. So it it could definitely favor the long hitters. Or like in your models, like I even put approaches from 200 plus. Like you're going to get a lot more of those than you usually do. Right. Just something to factor. I'm not weighting it heavily, but I like to kind of see those different things that might stand out just to kind of differentiate. Because this is a week that totally you can play the ownership game. If you're having like 60 guys get through to the weekend out of a 90 player field, you can 100% play the ownership game and survive. The other thing I'll mention, you mentioned the rain. Sunday is supposed to be the best day for sure. Like you said, so it should be dried out. But a lot of bombers could take an advantage here, which usually wasn't always the case. But it's just par five scoring. That's the biggest one. Par five scoring. That's tremendous.
You got to be able to score on 13. 15 is definitely gettable. Two is, I mean, there's been double eagles on that hole in the past, but it's most definitely gettable. And then an eight is probably the most difficult. If I was going to put them, I don't know if you have the fancy national.
Yeah, like, I just close it. I'll pull it back up right now.
Of the four, I would put eight as most difficult because it is a difficult second shot up a hill. It's blind.
Out of the par fives.
Yeah. Is eight the most difficult?
It's barely. It's okay because it's a 32% birdie rate. Two is a 37%, 13 is a 40%, and 15 is a 38.6%.
Yeah. It's just eight is would be the most difficult of the four, just especially visually. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait, man. I don't know what else to
say about it. We're talking about par four scoring, like bogey or bogey avoidance. Four of the 10 par fours have a 25 to 30% bogey rate. That tells you a ton right there. Like,
yeah.
It's just you really need to find a way to kind of to let it sink into you if you want to go. And 10 and 11 are two of the higher ones back to back. And then 18 is one of the hardest ones, obviously, a nice finishing hole. The other thing I will mention when you're talking about the golf course and whatnot, like I'm looking at my my model. And one thing that stands out is we keep talking about these greens are crazy, they're tricky, you got to know what you're doing. It doesn't mean you have to be a great putter. Hideki won, for Christ's sake. And Will Zalatoris finished second.
Well,
but it's avoiding like three putts, like saving your pars.
100%. That's getting the around the green.
I never used three putt avoidance on my model. But I am this week just a slight bit.
I think around the green matters too because, you know, you got to be able to get up and down. The thing about Hideki last year, 10 under par wins, right?
Yep.
And I mean, it's not difficult for these guys. Well, relatively speaking, you know, over 4 days to get to 10 under par, even if they're not putting well. So, the difficulty of the golf course is what would make it a putting contest or not. If it's playing easy initially, and then they are able to dry it out and it becomes more difficult, then the putting, will kind of even itself out there.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. And around the green is key. As you mentioned, there's a reason why Patrick Reed does so well here. As much crap as we want to give him,
he's
phenomenal
Spieth.
Around the green. Yeah, Spieth. And that's why Phil used to do well. Like, these guys are wizards around the green.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, and they know the greens. Like, we've seen those par threes where you hit it on a certain spot and it slopes all the way back. These guys know the greens. They chip it perfectly. So around the green game is big here. So it's one of those deals where it's not just a, you know, hit it, get a good approach shot in, make your birdies. Like, it's strategic involved
for sure.
Some guys will purposely miss on parts of the green if it falls off. They're comfortable chipping it to the hole instead of putting it. Like, you'll see some shots going, why did he go over here? But he's purposely leaving it there to give him a chance to like at least save par.
Right.
Like, that's what they're playing for. It's a whole different mindset. So keep that in mind when you're watching. But let's get into it. Let's have some fun here. Let's talk DraftKings for the week. And 10K and above, you know, it's a big boy field. We got seven guys. And the leader is the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, at 11,000. You got Jon Rahm at 10.8, DJ 10.5, JT 10.3, Morikawa 10.2, Vic 10.1, Rory 10,000. Like most of these flights until at least the 7-ish range, you can probably pick every player if you feel like it.
For sure. But before we hop into that, because we'll talk a little bit about ownership here, but I saw something interesting from DK DFS Strength. So at DK DFS Strength. So DF Strength. Long story short, on Twitter, tweeted this out today. Chalk report for the last three Masters. I retweeted it, so if you want to go to my Twitter, it's at the top there. The highest owned player has returned 100% of his salary in the last three major in the last three Masters.
So eat the chalk's what it's saying.
So the chalk is this isn't necessarily the place to avoid the chalk. I think the place to get different and typically your chalk guys are going to be up top here, right? Because they're the best players in the world. It's everybody who everybody wants to be on, so on and so forth. So the place to get different is down low.
It is, except for the years like you have Cooch at like 71 last year. Like, wasn't Corey Connors like 64? Like there's those pieces. It's like Paul Casey was like super cheap that one year. But for the most part, it's the dudes up top. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like Kuchar in one Masters was the highest owned, and he, you know, he more than paid himself off. At the DJ year, the year DJ won, he was the highest owned, and he scored 142 points.
That's when he came in. He was nuking the fields he played. Yeah, he was on fire.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jordan Spieth is typically a pretty popular guy in one of these years.
That's a good point. That's a good point, though. Like, you don't have to avoid all the chalk. That's a good find you had there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, because we talk about that a lot. You know, like, if I'm at last week's tournament and it's the Valero Texas fucking Open, yeah, I'm trying to avoid some chalk, even though I ate it with KH Lee, and that's what cost me, you know, a man cash. But either way, hopping into the actual – are we? Is that what we're going to do now? Is
yep. 10K and above, you got Chef, Rom, DJ, JT, Morikawa, Hovland, and Rory at 10,000.
We've been doing this long enough to where, like, I know if we should go there or not. Just simply from, have you read the names off yet in my mind? And I was like, he hasn't read the names off yet, so I shouldn't just hop right in there. But, I mean, hot take central here, Scotty Scheffler. I've seen a lot of people who are not necessarily.
I'm surprised by that too. I really am.
I typically don't listen to a lot of podcasts every week. I did listen to Mayo's with a couple guys that like not the Feinberg one, but the DFS centric one. Mm-hmm. And they weren't big on Scheffler, which surprises me. I mean, so he finished 18th here last year, 19th in the November Masters. So he's played it twice now, two top 20s. The thing about like the Masters is obviously a made cut is not the same as at other places because a shit ton of the guys are making the field or making the cut, right? I mean, maybe 66% of the guys are going to make the cut. So it's not necessarily the same. But you're getting those top 20s in there. I just don't understand why people want to not play him given his, you know, recent, obviously won the match play, played the players, not great, 55th. First at the API, 7th Genesis, 1st Phoenix Open. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like I've made lineups and it's not difficult to fit him in. And then the other guy that I would consider using more of up here is Hovland, 10,100. You know, he's made the cut twice. His best finish was last year, 21st. But he's a guy who I just feel like we'll figure it out. I've already seen a lot of people on JT. Would not surprise me a bit if he's the highest owned out of all these guys. And obviously DJ and Rom, Colin Morikawa, I'm not gonna argue with you if you want to play them. I'm gonna go with the hot hand, and it's Scheffler at this point for me.
Yeah, I love Scheffler. It's funny because I know the show you're talking about, and they were like, if Rom was 11,000, I'd play Rom, and then I'd think about Scotty at 10,800, but at 11, I can't play Scheffler.
Right.
And I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, he's third in my model over the last 24 rounds. We obviously know what he's been doing. He's third in par five scoring in this field, third in DK scoring in this field. Like, the dude gets it done. And it's one of those, we know it's Scotty. He can get birdies and bunches no matter how hard the course is. And so if he falls behind with a couple bogeys or finds the water like Ray's Creek, he can still bounce back where other guys might just fall apart. And
well, I do think he's very mentally tough, and his short game is on point right now.
Yep. And one thing I apologize to whoever tweeted it out, but like sometimes people like say overrate current form and stuff. For anybody that finishes well at the Masters, especially like top 10, they come in playing great golf.
Right.
Like they're not just guys that, you know, woke up after like a month off and they figure it out. No, these guys are coming in great form and nobody's playing better than Scotty Scheffler. So it's a tough one to argue there. The popular names that I've heard is JT and John Rahm. JT's first in my model. He is 18th or better in every stat I have except putting. He's first in bogey avoidance, first in three-putt avoidance, second in par fours, 450 to 500, fourth on approach, fourth in DK scoring. He's checking all the boxes, as they say. So I don't fault anybody for JT. It's just, you know, you can eat the chalk. Like you said, if he wins, you're going to want him, and he could easily win. He's been playing golf with the teed off with Tiger again on Monday. He's playing a lot of golf with Tiger out there, but I'll play limited. I'm going to have a piece of all these guys. I'm not going to tell you my 20. I might do 40. I might do 220 maxes this week. I'm trying to decide, but I'll definitely have a piece of some of these guys. But to narrow it down, I love Scotty, and I like Rory coming off the missed cut. I think it's the best thing that could have happened. I want to see the ownership. But even with all the kind of rough play from him, he's still fifth in my model. He's fourth in driving distance, fourth in par fives, third around the green in this field. So, and we know how well Rory plays at this event. You know, the missed cut last year with the T5, T21, T5, T7. I would love to hopefully get a lower roster Rory. I'd be a big fan of that one. 9K, you almost called it, but we have Cam Smith at 99. Jordan Spieth at 98, Xander 96, Cantlay 95, Brooks 94, Hideki with whatever's going on in that neck at 93, Willie Z at 92, Bryson 91, and Berger at 9,000. Another elite grouping here.
Yeah. Love Cam Smith. The one thing that's scary about him is maybe potentially his driver and the accuracy off the tee. But in the past, that hasn't, you know, I mean, he's hit it decently well around here. He's a really good scrambler, obviously, and can putt lights out. You know, at Augusta, the last 5 years, 10th, 2nd, 51st, 5th, and 55th. Coming off the Players' Championship win, I've seen a lot of places that project him to be the very highest owned in the whole entire field, right?
Makes sense.
Doesn't scare me a bit. I actually like, and the first lineup I made was Scheffler with Cam Smith.
That's spicy. I like that a lot.
I think it's doable. You know, I mean, those two guys right now are, in my opinion, I know Cam Smith got the better draw and everything at the Players, but he also played really well on Sunday. He's taken some time off, and he's played well around here before. So the other guy right below him, Jordan Spieth, you know, he shot 5 under on Sunday, this past Sunday.
I wish he didn't.
Texas Open.
I really wish he didn't.
I don't know that it's going to be that big of a deal.
That's true. He's going to be popular anyways. You're right.
I don't know if he will be.
Ooh. Let me pull up what the – because since this stuff came out early, we should actually have some projections here for ownership. Let me – well, so we'll have something to kind of pinpoint here. Right now at Fantasy National, when you look at Jordan Spieth, holy Nikes, he's calculated to be 12.5% rostered right now.
Yeah. So it's
not too bad. Cam Smith's almost 18, so that's not bad.
Not a lot. Last year, he was about 32% owned coming in, in probably arguably better form. And for the November Masters, he was 6th. The year before that, 13, 20, 30. So going back to 2017, those are kind of the ownerships. I mean, I just don't see that many people being like, oh, yeah, I have to play Jordan Spieth. Just because mostly it's the current form. I mean, coming in, he's like, what the fuck has he done? Besides miss a couple cuts this year. He finished 2nd at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, whatever. I mean, he plays well there all the time. Just for me, I mean, it's just simply course history. I'm going to play him. Zalatoris at 92. I expect him to be popular. You know, if there was a guy up here that...
Hey, Jesse, yep. Your internet's going bad.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're good now, but you're frozen.
Okay. Will Zalatoris would be the other guy at 9,200. No,
you're still messed up, man.
How are we doing?
No, we're not.
We're still not doing anything.
No.
Well, you go ahead if you want.
Well, Jesse figures things out. I'll tell you what I want in the 9K range. I'm a big fan of Cam Smith as well. It'll be interesting to see if you go the Cam Smith versus JT route, because we look at ownership right now. Cam Smith's projected around 18%, where JT's around 21%, and John Rahm's 19%. So these are some of your top projected ownership guys here. So I do like Cam Smith a lot, though, and pairing it up with a chef is fine. There's nothing wrong with that if you have to go that route, but I do like some Cam Smith. If you need to go there, I like Jordan Spieth a ton, as Jesse was mentioning. The other guys I'm looking at, I really want to use Brooksy coming in, you know, with the missed cut last year, but T7, T2, T11, and he's really starting. Like last year he was hurt, so I'm going to kind of take that as it was, but his current form at T12 at the Valspar. He got the horrible draw at the Players. I'm not going to worry about that at all. But playing some really good golf promos, he's expected to be very popular as well. So keep that in mind with Brooksy. And you can differentiate starting in the 8K range. When I scroll down the ownership here, it's 8K and the 7K. You got a lot of single-digit stuff. So don't let it, like, deter you, because Willie Z is a great pick, very popular as well. And then Berger's the one I think that becomes quite interesting. 24th in my model, 4th around the green, 10th in bogey avoidance. He could be quite a fun play. Miscut here last time, but T32, T27, and we know the form Berger's in right now, T13 at the Players. He's getting ready to go. So Berger could be your sneakier one in this 9K range if you want, but it's a chalky range. Smith and Brooks and Willie Z are very, very, very popular. They all rate out very well. I'll have pieces of all of them. Spieth and Berger could be some of the kind of fun, different ones for me. Jesse, I think you're back. What do you got in this 9K range?
Yeah, is that good? Are we good?
Yep, you're good. You're good now.
I would say Zalatoris, I think, is playable. I also like your Berger call there. I don't see him being that popular. He missed the cut. Were you just saying no, he's not going
to
be that popular?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying no. He's the only guy projected to be less than 10%, not named Bryson or Hideki in this range.
You got me.
I got you gun shy.
Definitely am not playing Bryson, and I think Hideki is very sketch to play. Now, if you're playing 150, I could see why you would throw some Hideki in there, because he should be very low owned coming off the neck injury. But I just don't think I'm going to touch him.
Yeah, you nailed it. Like, even in my 20 max, I don't feel like having any. I think I had two last week just to kind of roll the dice, and that was two more than I needed. So with this field, with so many guys making the weekend, you need six of six in a bad way. So I don't know if I want to, like, hamstring myself right out the gate.
I'm with you.
8K range now. You got Usti, who loves himself some majors, at 89. Shane Lowry at 88. Gooch, first-timer, with Burns, 87 and 86. Woods, Tiger Woods, at 85. Sungjae at 84. Adam Scott at 83. Neiman, 82. Finau, 81. And Tyrell Hatton at 8,000. This is an interesting range, because this is a lot of pros and cons with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely playing Louis. You know, I don't know when the last time he missed a cut here was, but he plays well in majors in general. And he hasn't really missed a cut. He got DQ'd from the RSM Classic. And I know he's withdrawn before, but he hasn't missed a cut since the RSM Classic in 2020. I mean, he's just been steady, and he typically is. I know that's a little bit of a high price for him to pay, but for you to pay for him, but I like him. Shane Lowry is very, very interesting to me, especially if we got a little bit of wind or something, as far as the weather goes. Playing really solid golf. He can make enough birdies. His course history is sketch for somebody in this range, and not necessarily the best, but he does have back-to-back top 25s in the last couple of years. I think Burns is all right. I mean, it's hard on Tiger, man. I don't know. What are you going to do with Tiger?
I'm going to root for him. He won't be in any of my lineups. Not my 20 maxes. Again, it's like Hideki in 150 definitely has some. And we said it before. I think we said it on last week's show. It's like, if he's playing, he knows he can compete. He's not showing up to just, you know, tank this thing.
Right.
Or to get
a paycheck.
Yeah.
He doesn't need one.
Well, and I didn't know about it, but when Mayo said it, I think it was with Feinberg today, is he's like never been missed a cut at this event. He ain't going to put that record on the line for his own ego. Like, that's his ego's like, so. If he can play, he can play. That's why he's showing up, but I'm still very nervous. Like, Cam Davis said he played with him like 9 holes on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he said he hit the ball fine, but going up hills on 17 and 18 were a little slow.
Yeah.
And walking every day, I'm curious how, like, every morning is going to be a little different for him. Does he feel like he still wants to give it a go come Thursday? That's my concern.
I'm with you. I mean, it's hard, because obviously you want to root for the guy. I just don't know where his ownership is going to be. And if, you know, I mean, especially I would say in the $15 millionaire maker, he's going to have a lot more ownership than he will anywhere else.
True. Very true.
Last but not least would be Hatton for me, at 8,000, you know, 18th place here last year. He did miss the November Masters, but he's been playing really solid, 21st, 13th, 2nd, 4th, 16th in his last 5 starts. Pretty good there. So, I think Hatton at 8,000 is solid.
Yeah, for me, Usti, I'm 100% on board with. You know, he hasn't missed a cut here in forever. He's 6th around the green in the last 24 rounds. really good on the longer par fours. He's 11th in this field as well. So two things that you really need to do well, and I'll take my chances with Usti. But I love Lowry as a pivot. I think it's actually – Usti is actually not as chalky as Lowry is, which is surprising to me, at least as of now. But Lowry's 11th in my model, 6th on approach, 5th in proximity within 200 yards, 7th in bogey avoidance, 6th in three-putt avoidance. All the things he did very well to win the British Open would play very well, especially if, like you said, the conditions get a little rough around here. Shane O'Lowry could be a pretty strong target. Him at 88. And I think that ownership projection is a little high because he never comes in high owned, ever. So I'd be kind of surprised if that were the case. Gooch and Burns are interesting because they're both first-timers. And Burns is getting a lot of the popularity, but Gooch, you know, around the green's been very strong. His par five scoring is very strong. His three-putt avoidance is very – like, he's just strong across the board. Obviously, Burns is playing phenomenal golf as well, but I think Gooch can be an interesting pivot. Burns is obviously, to me, the better player. Don't get me wrong, but I think Gooch in that price range is a good pivot. Adam Scott has my attention, and it makes me nervous, but when you talk about past history, you know, he's made a million cuts here, it feels like.
He's Andrew Kirst, by the way.
Well, that's a fun one, but maybe small field. Let's go small field. But $8,300, he intrigues me in that regard. But yeah, missed cut at the Players. Let that one go. T26 in the API. He was playing some pretty good golf, actually. I'm playing a lot more golf than usual, it feels like. So he's like, he's almost trying to get going here. So he could be fun at 83 because he's also coming in around 12%, which is not low, but not too bad. Sungjae's coming in super low. 15th in my model, 4th in bogey avoidance. What's your thoughts on Sungjae?
I don't know, man. I've not – like, him and Tony Finau are kind of becoming the same player to me.
Yeah, that's a good call.
They – I mean, obviously, they were like – Sungjae's won a lot more recently than Tony. But just from the perspective of, like, I'll let other people eat that chalk or take up that ownership, and I'll go elsewhere. I just – he's not coming in great form. Neither is Finau, so
– yeah. Yeah, M was curious to me. I have no desire to play Finau, and I like Hatton. I keep playing Hatton because no one else does, but 26th in my model, 5th in par 5 scoring, great at bogey avoidance. You know, he's a roller coaster ride of emotions, as we know, but he's also a proven winner at 8,000. Is pretty strong, in my opinion.
Yeah,
75 to 79, you got Abe Anser, who withdrew from the Valero before it teed off. Russell Henley, Sergio Garcia, Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Connors, Casey, who knows how he's doing, Webb Simpson, and Justin Rose. So some old-timers with a couple new boys in here.
Yeah, it'd be great to get some injury news on Paul Casey.
You talk about course history.
Yeah, I mean, he's always like every year I feel like since DK has had the, you know, had golf, I've played Paul Casey at the Masters and obviously had a string there of top 10s from 15 to 17. Not been as great lately, but he's actually was coming in pretty good form minus that fucking WD from the match play. Yeah. Connors, I think he's fine at 7,600. I've already seen and heard his name quite a bit this week, so I do expect him to be popular. I like Sergio at 7,800. Three straight missed cuts at this event since he won it. Terrible.
That's pretty wild.
But he's been playing pretty well coming in, right? Obviously past winner, so proven winner, can definitely win. It's just his course history sucks, but that should depress his ownership, especially with Henley. I mean, Henley might be the chalk below 10K or below 8K. I mean, for good reason, 15th, 11th, 21st, 31st in his last four starts here. He hasn't played here since 2018. And has not missed a cut since the Open Championship back in July. Solid golf. And then last but not least, Abe Anser. I'm kind of going from bottom to top here just mostly because Paul Casey wanted to get him out of the way. But Abe Anser's played here a couple times, made the cut both times, finished 13th and 20th, coming off a missed cut there at the Valspar. And then obviously, like you said, WD. But I think he's fine. He's like Sergio and Anser are the pivots, in my opinion, off of Henley because I've already seen Henley's name a lot.
Yeah, and I like Henley a lot because his game plays very, very well
here. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't played here in a while. He's projected to be 14%, where Sergio and Anser are both less than 4% projected.
Right.
Like, that's a phenomenal pivot, like you said. And this is where you can start making that argument. And I think Sergio's a fun one. Like you said, three straight missed cuts, but after he won, he's coming in playing good golf. But like looking at his numbers right now, his approach game's been pretty bad. I think that's what a lot of it is. 74th in approach. From 200 out, 82nd. Par 4 is 450 to 567th in this field. I think that's what's hurting Serge. But if there's ever a place to figure it out, it could be a place where he's won, like at Augusta. So that is very, very intriguing with those. But I do like Russell. Fitzpatrick looks to be very popular. He's first in this field in par 5 scoring, 6th in bogey avoidance. I love Fitz. I think he's coming in some overall pretty darn good form. T5 at the Valspar, miscut at the Players, whatever. T9 at Arnold Palmer. If it is wet, if it's a lower scoring tournament, that fits his game pretty well. So after I said I'd stop myself. Yeah, I'm like, oh god,
knocked it out.
Yeah, so that it really does play into him very well. And I'm actually surprised his ownership is projected to be that high next to Connor. So I expect it to be the massive chalk, and they're about the same ownership, which is a little bit surprising to me.
Let me just throw one little wrench in your Fitz, because I've been team Fitz. With you, he's fucking chipping cross-handed.
Whoa, that's not good.
I mean, obviously finished 5th at the Valspar, chipping cross-handed. But to me, that just, I don't know if I can deal with somebody doing that around Augusta.
Well, he comes from a place that drives on the opposite side of the road too. So maybe it's just a different deal. Who knows?
Could be, but he's the only one doing it. So
yeah, that is different. It is different for sure. That is good. Interesting to know. That's for damn sure.
That just scares me to death, man. And I'm like,
well, it's one of those, like, if it feels awkward or something, he can lose the whole thing. Well, that's terrifying.
That to me, when you're chipping cross-handed, I don't even know how to try to
like visualize.
I putt cross-handed.
Yeah, I don't even putt cross. But, it feels too fucking weird to putt. Yeah.
Chipping cross-handed to me just screams demons.
Yeah, somebody had the yips really bad, and we're trying to fix it.
I mean, it just, to me, it's just like, God, you are dealing with some shit, buddy. And I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry you're dealing with it, because I've dealt with it myself. It's terrible.
Oh, that's a good point. That's it. Cross-handed chipping is wild. I didn't even know that. That's a whole nother animal right there.
Professional golfer. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something you expect to see on the muni, on the practice chipping.
So now he should probably win, since I've just dogged this shit.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I have a lot of exposure now. Because over the last 24 rounds, that you mentioned it, let's just look here. He is 53rd in the field around the green. He's not chipping it that well, as they say.
91 golfers, yeah.
Yeah, got to get that approach game on point. Connors I like a lot, but so does everybody else. And you don't have to explain that one a ton. The only other guy here that kind of stands out to me, ranked 63rd in my model, but when you look like past history, is Justin Rose. 7th, 23rd miscut, 12th, 2nd. He's always played really well at this tournament. Recent tournaments, though, miscut at the Players, miscut at the API. The form is really, really rocky, so kind of pick your poison. Do you want the course history, or do you want the recent form? I think Rosie at 75 is worth a little chance. I'll say that much. I guess it's one of those places that he can kind of speed his way into some good scoring here. We'll see. But Rosie at 75 seems like a little bit of a discount that I'm willing to take this week at very low ownership. 7K to 74, you got Reed, Horschel, Watson, Leishman, Seamus Power. Welcome to the Masters. Kokrak, Max Homa, Siwoo Kim, my boy Bobby Mack, Cam Young, Luke List. I have a lot of guys I like here.
Yeah, I mean, not super, super into this range. I do have a few guys that I do like a lot. Billy Horschel's one of them. Still has me blocked on Twitter. I have to mention that every single time that I mention his name. He also withdrew from the Players' Championship, which cost me money.
didn't he withdraw like after the third round
or
something?
He was in like in the middle of the third round or something and just quit.
He made the cut.
I don't know what the hell happened there, but yes. I mean, they don't.
It's a good thing you didn't see him on Twitter, because later that Sunday he was posting things about his charity.
I guess he just doesn't like money. I don't know. I mean, like, there's a shit ton of money to be made at the Players' Championship, and we're just going to not take any of it. Whatever. Course history is not great. I just got a feeling about him this year. He'll sneak up on some putts and just knock them right in the hole. Max Homa has been two appearances, two miscuts. I'm going to preface it. But four straight top 25s, really three out of four top 15s, and like not easy golf courses either. I mean, the Players' Championship was difficult. API is always a more difficult place. The Genesis, which he's won at, a difficult track. Phoenix, whatever. I love Max Homa this week. I could be way off base. I hope his ownership is really low. People see those two missed cuts. They're like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to play a shit ton of Max Homa. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. And then last but not least, your boy, Bobby Mack. Played here last year, finished 12th.
Man of my own heart.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. You boys got to stick together. His form coming in, not terrible. 35th, 15th, 9th, 13th. Now, two of those four were on the European Tour, but has been playing over here, finished 15th at the Genesis, which I think is a solid finish for him there. So I do like him this week as well.
And we can't hold it against Bobby Mack because him and even Richard Bland, who played great at the Valero, he tweeted out, thanks for letting me play PGA Tour. Hopefully you'll let me play some more soon.
Yeah.
And then like Bland and Bobby Mack, they just don't have eligibility, so they're just waiting for sponsors exemptions. And we see how good these guys are. I guess, A, it's a testimonial to how good the actual tour players are, and B, just, man, we got to figure a way to fix that. I want the best of the best over here. I don't want to have certain regulations. Like Bobby Mack and Richard Bland maybe should be – like they're top 50 players in the world. They should probably be in tournaments. Just throwing it out there. Yeah. But that's a whole other debate for another day. For me, I love Billy Ho. I've been on Billy Ho for like the last month or so. I've been rocking the Billy Ho bandwagon. 18th off the tee over the last 24. He's a third in par fours, 450 to 500. His approach game is what's crushing it right now. 12th in bogey avoidance, 9th in DK scoring. He seems like when you watch Billy Ho a lot, he's got a lot of chances to score. So I'm with you on that. Again, similar to Spieth, similar to Rose, if you want the course narrative, Bubba Watson. He's 55th in my model, but we know there's Bubba courses, and the Masters is one that fits that ball flight very, very well. T26, T57, T12, T5, his last 4 years at this golf course. And when you look deeper, you know, miscut at the Valspar, T68 at the Players. He played very well at the played well at the match play. So at $7,300, you can get potentially a low owned Bubba Watson, which could be pretty fun. He's projected to be less than 6%. Billy Ho less than 8%. The chalk in this range is Siwoo Kim, Max Homa, and Bobby Mack. They're both about 10 to 12%. I like them all. I'm a huge fan of all three of them. You mentioned Homa's 18th in my model, 9th in par 5 scoring, playing phenomenal golf. Siwoo Kim, 35th in my model. And when you talk about playing at this golf course, T12, T34, T21, T24, last 4 years, coming in pretty good form as well. And then Bobby Mack. I love all three of these guys. I'm going to have them spread out quite a bit. The last guy I will mention, though, he was first in my model last week. He's fourth this week, and that is still Luke List. He, when you're looking at, you know, par five scoring, he's 20th, but 7th in driving distance, first in this field around the green. Imagine if he could putt. Just imagine. He's 18th in par fours, 450 to 500. He's 13th in approach. Like at 7K, this is a dude that's playing some pretty good golf right now. He's going to come in low because those guys ahead of him. First time here, which is kind of scary. But, you know, T53 last week, the withdrawal, the miscut, the API, and he had that W. He's striking it so well. It just comes down to can he putt? And the first time ever putting on these greens in a professional environment might not be the time to play Luke List. But at $7,000 at a lower ownership, I'm willing to check it out. I'll tell you that much. 6K range, who you liking? The chalkiest player here, by the way, probably is at $6,900. I haven't even looked at ownership, but he rates out well.
Franny?
Gary Woodland is playing very good golf. He's 11% projected.
Really?
Which is by far the most in this range.
Because this course history is sketches. I'll get out. 40th miscut, 32nd miscut, 26th. I mean, he's
playing good golf. He's second in my model.
He's playing, yes, he's playing.
So my model might be broken, but he's second.
I wouldn't say that at all, but, like, I don't want to play an 11% Gary Woodland. I like him, and I was going to mention him, but, shit, if he's going to be 11% owned, I don't know if I'll play any of them. Right above him, Franny. You know, last year he came in and finished 52nd. He missed the cut back in November, but was not playing good golf at all last year. He's playing a lot better this year. It's all relative, of course. I mean, we're talking about a dude who's $6,900 here. I think Lee Westwood potentially could be a little bit sneaky too, especially if Woodland is going to be chalk. Two straight missed cuts for him, but he has some pretty good course history. He did miss the cut last year, but before that had made every cut since 2013, as far back as I go, in all the events that he played. Does have a second place finish, a couple of their top 10s in there. A few more guys, Harmon, Kevin Na, EVR right there in that range. You know, Harmon and Nall have the kind of the course history, and EVR just seems to be playing better, or at least good enough, in my opinion, to get some ownership. So, I mean, that's about as far down as I'm willing to go in this range. I know, obviously, there's other guys like probably Harold Varner will be popular, but he's never played here. You know, I don't know. Do you have anything like, well, I guess, what are you on? Obviously, yeah, you do, I'm sure.
A lot of first-time players here. Like, Woodland, I'll have some of it. 11% is terrifying. He's playing very, very good golf. I had Na checked off and Harmon checked off, like you said. Seabez is playing some up-and-down golf, but he's really good at bogey avoidance of late. You know, T62 at the Valspar, T20 at the API, and his two trips here, a 40th and a 38th, so he can at least make the cut, it looks like. So he's interesting at 67 if you want a lower-owned player here. And then the only other guys I had checked off, Thomas Peters, if we're talking a bomber guy that can maybe run hot, he's interesting to me. It's his he hasn't played here since 2018, where he missed cut. Then he had T4 in 2017, so he's definitely figured a little bit out here. And then Cam Champ at 66, T26 and T19 here. It might just be one of those courses for Cam. You know, missed cut at the Valero, missed cut at the Players, T61 at API. He's playing really, really rough golf right now. He's 48th in my model, but he's third in driving distance, ninth in over 200 yards in this field. Maybe this is a course that just fits his mold, and that's just something to keep in mind. So Cam Champ at 66, Tomas Peters at 66. I really don't like much more below this. Like, you can probably look at certain guys and go, okay, yeah, maybe like Mackenzie Hughes if he gets the putt, or Lucas Glover played really well last week, stuff like that. The only other guy I would potentially play if you just want to punt at $6,200 is Charles Schwartzel, just for the fact that when you dig into Schwartz, T26, T25 the last 2 years here, he missed cuts in 19 and 18, third place in 17, but back-to-back T25s essentially is interesting to me. But other than that, missed cut at the Valspar, missed cut at the Players, missed cut at the API, not playing great golf. So ideally, not down here is what I'm saying. I try to say 66, 67 and above, give or take. But if you need to punt, you can go with Schwartz and hope he makes it to the weekend. All right. Recapping things, Jesse. 10K and above, who's your pick?
Scheffler.
Since you took Scottie Scheffler, I will take Rory McIlroy. 9K range.
Cam Smith.
That is a good one. I am going to – man, he's going to be chalky, but I'm going Brooks Koepka. I really like Brooks this week, but that's a chalky play. If you want it, if you don't want chalk, go Brigger. But I like Koepka. 8K range.
I like Louis, but just so that I'm not picking every single one of the top of the range here, I'm going to say Hatton.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to go Lowry. I'll go Lowry at $8,800. I like that quite a bit. 74 to 79.
Sergio.
I'll go Russell Henley in this one. 7K to 74.
Homa.
Now, this is tough. I'll go Bobby Mack, but like I said, I like this range. There's probably five or six guys. I'm going to mix and match a lot down here. And then 6K.
I'm going to say Brian Harmon.
That's probably the best one. Okay, obviously, I've said Gary Woodland's the best one that ranks in my model, but he's chalky. So a non-chalky, I'd say Seabez. Seabez would be the guy I'd be looking for in this range. I'm not going to recommend cash this week because 666 should be very popular to begin with. So you're playing a GPP at difficult. That point.
Yeah.
So who, if you're starting a GPP lineup, who are you starting things out with?
I'll probably have a lot of this. Cam Smith, Scottie Scheffler, like starting that. Out those two. And then from there, you know, that leaves about 7,200. So it does make it a little bit more sketch, but Max Homa.
Yeah, that's a hell of a start. That's a beautiful looking lineup. All guys I like to root for too. Like that makes it even more fun. Since everyone knows who I like up top, well, hopefully, what's his projected ownership? Let me go back and look at this just out of curiosity. Rory's still about 13, but they're all popular up top. I love your build, but to be a little different, to give a different angle, I'll go Rory with Berger. This gives you a little more savings at least. And then throw in a little throw in Bobby Mack. Go Rory, Berger, and Bobby Mack to get the party started. But there's a lot to like this week, obviously, in such a field like this. And that leads us to our bets of the week, DraftKings Sportsbook. And there's going to be a lot of good stuff to look at here. So who you got winning this thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, up top, obviously, there's really short odds. Rahm is now the favorite at 9-1 over Scheffler. JT. I mean, I don't mind Scheffler at 12. It's just, you know, really short odds. And then, you know, we're just, you know, just being classic touts and taking like all six guys up top there and then doing a victory up on Twitter. So not going to do that. A little bit longer odds. Louis Oosthuizen in at 45. I find very interesting. And then Homa is where...
You are all in on Homa. I love this. He's 80 to 1.
80 to 1. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Bobby Mack is 110 to 1. He is a plus 750 to T20 or T10. I think that's fun. I think there's a lot to like there, Bobby Mack. Billy Ho's plus five. I'm just going T10s here. Billy Ho's plus 500. You had Homa at plus 600 at top 10. I think if you want to get sneaky, the dude never wins in America, but Fleetwood at 90 to 1 is starting to play a little bit of good golf, and he likes to play here a lot. I think there's some angles there with the Fleets at 90 to 1 to win this damn thing. So that can be interesting as well. Yeah, other than that, I think it's a big dog week. It just feels that way, like,
well,
25 or better.
If you go to tournament props, they have a prop, big guns versus the field. The field is minus 450, and then you can get Rahm, Scheffler, JT, or DJ at plus 320.
Ooh.
So basically 3 to 1.
So that's interesting. That's interesting. That's a fun prop bet.
There's always the hole-in-one prop, which
is a pretty popular one on Sundays.
Yeah. That the no is plus money. I like that myself. I mean, I think it's worth a dabble there if you're going. Will they let you like do the make cut prop?
I see the make miss cut prop
parlay. I mean, can you parlay
make the cut parlay right here?
Oh, you can.
Yeah,
that's one of the things that Mayo has done a lot of.
But see, you can't pick who you want. They have them here for you already. Like Shoffley and Cantlay both make the cut for minus 130. If you want some plus odds, Fitzpatrick, Hatton, Casey, and Fleetwood all make the cut at plus 150. they threw like Matsuyama's in one, DeChambeau's in one. This one's not bad though. Woods, McIlroy, Spieth, Hovland all make the cut at plus 200. Like I said, I think Woods is ready to play if he shows up.
Yeah, Woods, McIlroy, Spieth, and Hovland. Yeah, it's plus 200. Yeah, I like that.
Another good one: Horschel, Finau, Homa, Burns, plus 210. If you believe in Finau figuring it out, so those are interesting ones. There's no miss the cut parlays though, unfortunately. But if you could pick one big dog or one of the top guys to miss the cut, like if you think Adam Scott's, if he's cursed, he's plus 275 to miss the cut.
Yeah.
Leishman at plus 250. He's been kind of scuffling, but he plays well here.
I mean, Bryson at plus 135.
That's not bad with his injury history right now. Plus one. Like, I don't even see Hideki on this. They won't even put him on it because of the injury concerns.
Yeah.
It's probably smart.
I'm sure Paul Casey's probably not on there either.
Yeah, I ain't seen him either. But there's some fun props for this week. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
I wish we could fucking bet legally in my state.
I can't even bet on this either, California. So don't worry about it.
Okay.
I have an account and I can't even log into it. If that makes you feel any better. Actually, I can log in. I can't place a bet.
Yeah, log in. You just, they'll flag you if you try to, or they'll just stop you and say, whatever. Anyway, so yeah.
What are your final thoughts for the Masters?
Really excited. Like I said, I do think that weather Thursday might be a bit of an issue. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think there are going to be some storms rolling through Thursday morning. It might bleed into kind of daylight and potentially, delay some things, which will suck. But then that just means we'll just get more golf crammed in. The cool thing about the Masters, everybody does go off one, unless there is some kind of weather deal where they do have to send them off 10. But for the most part, everybody will go off one. And just really super excited and can't wait.
Yeah, I'm pulling up Augusta, Georgia weather real quick here, just for shits and giggles. And if we're looking at the daily, I'm on AccuWeather. There's other sites, Weather Underground, all kinds of them. But like it's Tuesday, heavy thunderstorms overnight. Wednesday, heavy thunderstorms in the afternoon. Right now it says Thursday, times of cloud and sun, 25% chance of rain. Friday, cooler with some sun, 24% chance of rain. So it looks like the rain might have backed off for the weekday or weekend. Even Thursday looks like it kind of backed off. You have about 25% chance of rain Thursday and Friday. The heavy stuff is Tuesday and Wednesday, so it's going to be wet to start the week, and like you said, and then kind of go from there. It might be windy because it looks like it's going to be cloudy and kind of stormy feeling, but not a lot of rain. So we'll see, but good luck, everybody. Yep. It's going to be a fun one. Awesome week. You know, go take some time off from work. Enjoy yourself. Do whatever you got to do. Check us out on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Give us a rate and review. We'd appreciate that. Check out Jesse on the Twitter there at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intrick. And again, this was your 2022 Masters preview. Catch you guys next time.